Welcome to the Army Resilience Roundup podcast. I am your host, Lataria Walker. The Army can be a tough profession. Mix in additional responsibilities like leading troops, attending college, maintaining a home, parenting, keeping up with finances, basically living life. How can we successfully manage everything? How can we not just cope, but learn, grow, and thrive? Resilience. That's it. Resilience is the ability to persevere, adapt, and grow in dynamic or stressful environments. Resilience encompasses internal motivation, persistence, and how soldiers revitalize, recover, and adapt in order to respond constructively to challenges in their daily lives. Training and education empowers leaders and soldiers to demonstrate resilience. When individuals gain experience in applying these skills, it enables cohesive team building and drives readiness. The Army Resilience Roundup podcast is a place where you can find resources that will help you maintain your resilience. You are resilient. Welcome to the Army Resilience Roundup podcast, episode 4. I am your podcast host, Lataria Walker. Today, our guest is Sergeant Major Sherita Anua, Senior Enlisted Advisor, United States Army Resilience Directorate. Our topic for today is providing policy, resources, and capabilities to increase resilience and readiness. Sergeant Major Anua will provide an overview of the Total Army Sponsorship Program, the platform, and the roles of the sponsors, as well as the coordinators. Her desire is that the sponsored newcomers will understand the services he or she should expect. Sergeant Major Anua's goal is to increase awareness of training courses that provide excellent guidelines and tools for sponsors to execute their roles. Sergeant Major Anua, thank you for joining us today. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. First, I want to say thank you to have a chance to reach out to the force about the wonderful programs the Army has to take care of our own and improve holistic wellness and being. So I really appreciate this opportunity. I've been in the Army for almost 27 years now. I came in as a 31 Romeo, and later I transferred over to a 25 Bravo, which is IT. And at some point in time, I realized that I was kind of over dealing with computers because they don't talk back. And I like peopling. So I began to look for broadening assignments that allowed me to focus on advocacy and care for others. And finally, at about 25 years, the Army blessed me with an early Christmas to serve as the Senior Enlisted Advisor for Army Resilience Directorate, which is serving currently as a strategic node for multiple prevention and response efforts to harmful behaviors and wellness aspects. So I'm very excited to be here. I'm married to Chief Warrant Officer 3, Obina Onua, and we have a wonderful, beautiful daughter, 12-year-old, and we love to the sports of cycling and running and lifting weights. And I will say we all are lifelong learners. So that's just a little bit about myself, my family, and my love for the Army.
Ma'am, thank you for your service and thank you for sharing. Let's jump right into our discussion. Tell us what TASP stands for.
So TASP stands for the Total Army Sponsorship Program, and it is a conglomerate of services to help in the integration and transition process for our service members as they move from one installation to another.
And who is this program specifically designed for?
So the program, it focuses on the soldier, but it is very considerate of all of the family's needs as well as our DA civilians. So it is a total Army program where we focus on all things that are associated with our service members' support system as well as their health and wellness.
Is the program available to family members of servicemen?
Absolutely. So it's the service members, their families, and even their pets, their fur babies.
Oh, wow. Nice. I love it. Is the program embedded in a particular platform?
So yes, ma'am. So currently the Army has the sponsorship program embedded in the Army Career Tracker. This digital platform is set to serve several purposes to include leader and professional development, mentorship, sponsorship, as well as other resource tools.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about that Army Career Tracker platform. What are the capabilities of that program?
I will focus on sponsorship. So as it relates to sponsorship, commanders and their designees, their sponsorship coordinators and liaisons, and even the soldier has access to this program to monitor, execute, and evaluate the performance of the program in their footprint. And it's all executed through a digital dashboard. And what is very awesome is that the commanders can actually evaluate program effectiveness as well as customer satisfaction. So I believe it hits various points that the commander needs to appropriately evaluate the program.
Great. What are the services or resources available to newcomers through this program?
So I just love TASP. TASP is intended to provide trained peer-to-peer unit ambassadors to guide newcomers and their family members and special case outbound soldiers through the transition process. And the focus on these services fits snugly into the categories of social determinants of health. And those categories look like housing, transportation, education, medical care. And when doing so, they have to consider the spouse and children's specific needs, say for instance, EFMP or education needs, which we can get through our military school liaisons, financial education services through our supporting agencies, and a host of other things easily captured and explained in the sponsorship awareness training and the ESAT training that we'll probably discuss a little bit later.
Okay. Tell me what services are available to the fur babies you mentioned earlier.
Oh, so for the fur babies, of course, you know, we have vet services on most of the major installations, as well as there are certain requirements, traveling requirements for service members who may take their fur babies overseas or they're bringing them back from overseas. Various airlines have their certain restrictions or guidelines, quarantine rules and regulations. So that information is laid out in both the training as well as details in Military OneSource. But the sponsor is responsible for understanding how to research that information to kind of guide their newcomer in that process.
Got it. Love it. Now that we're talking about sponsors, this is a good segue into our next question. What are the roles of the coordinators and sponsors working for the program?
I'll just focus on the main responsibilities because there's a plethora of things associated. The main responsibilities as it relates to the installation coordinators, they are responsible for assigning brigade and battalion coordinators. They also monitor the program at the installation level, and they serve as a direct advisor to the senior commander and command sergeant major. Now, the unit sponsors who sit at the brigade and battalion level, they are responsible for assigning peer-to-peer sponsors for those incoming newcomers, making sure they have similar or alike experiences as the newcomer. Say, for instance, if you have a soldier and family coming in, you would want to ensure that you identify a sponsor who also had a family as they transitioned into that installation. So they can not only advise them on the resources, but personal experiences, I would say, provide clarity for the newcomer and their family. They're also responsible for initiating the process with that, with the sponsor, with immediate guidance and review of the unit and Army program requirements.
Got it. That's great information. Are there any specialized trainings or courses that are available to the coordinators and sponsors? And if so, what are they?
Absolutely, ma'am. So first, training that I think is very important for all service members, all civilian teammates, is the Sponsorship Awareness Program. So during a transition of the Army training program to Military OneSource, it's no longer offered in OMS. So all of this training is consolidated on the Military OneSource site. And they have two training available, your sponsorship awareness training and your ESAT training for the sponsors. The sponsorship awareness training is made available for everyone. And it is a clear set of guidance as to what you as the newcomer should expect from your sponsor, and different resources, websites, agencies, services that will help you through your transition process. Now, the ESAT training is directed at the sponsor, and it is a 5-module training that provides guidance as to how that sponsor needs to go about executing their roles and responsibilities. And it provides examples of, say, your welcome email, your welcome packet, and how the needs assessment checklist to ensure that you are approaching your duties and responsibility from a comprehensive perspective. Finally, you have the Army Career Tracker platform training. So there is a training that is developed for each level of the coordinators to understand their roles and responsibility on that digital dashboard. And that is accessed directly through the Army Career Tracker platform. And currently, those are three major training opportunities available at the strategic level. However, the units also will have SOPs to clarify any discrepancies or disparities of service offerings due to their remote location or their unique set of operations.
Got it. Thank you for that. Ma'am, how does the TASS program tie into prevention, readiness, and resilience?
From our perspective, proactive and engaged sponsors, they provide an immediate sense of trust and reliability, resulting in a feeling of belonging, connectedness, and sort of like a safety net. So immediately it reduces the stress of transitioning to new places, reporting procedures, which can be quite confusing when relying on documents only. Also, they increase resilience and readiness through a coach to independence technique to prepare that newcomer to operate on their own as soon as possible, but knowing the sponsor is still there as their safety net. And, you know, this can be quite empowering. But as far as it goes to prevention, when you are serving as a sponsor, you're not only providing service, but if you think about it, you're teaching this newcomer about all the services and agencies and resources and tools that are available to address life stressors and increase coping mechanisms to prevent those day-to-day routine challenges from becoming crisis. And then you are decreasing the likelihood that those crises become suicide ideations and then, God forbid, death by suicide. So it's prevention in the aspect of providing those things to do to get to the left of the crisis. So I just believe that sponsorship is a strong, strong foundational element for prevention.
Absolutely. Thank you. What are the policies that are in place regarding the TASS program?
First, you have your total Army sponsorship program, Army regulation, which is the AR-600-8-8. And I'll tell you, that's under modification right now as we have transitioned from G9 to G1. We took on all of the roles and responsibilities of program execution and interaction with the force. So we're pulling in that integrator, we're pulling in the policy and the proponency of the program all into ARD. And so currently we are under business analysis to understand how we're going to establish business practices to address all of the components of the program. We also have the Army Regulation 600-8-105, which addresses the Army Community Service and all of the relocation services and products and tools that they have to assist newcomers with transitioning from one location to the other. And finally, I would recommend Army Regulation 600-8-11, which addresses military orders. That helps the sponsor understand how to advise and guide newcomers through the reassignment process, considering things like passports and other security concerns when you are transitioning to locations that might have a heightened security requirement or SOFA agreements overseas in special locations. So those are the three major regulations needed to understand how sponsorship program needs to be carried out.
Great. At the installation level, how was the program executed and how are resources managed?
So at the installation level, you got to look at it from a garrison and leadership perspective. In regards to the leadership perspective, the entire program is aligned with the human resource elements of each unit. So you have your S1s at your battalion and brigade level, and you have your G1 located at your installation level. So from that perspective, your installation level is making sure they identify the brigade and battalion sponsorship coordinators, and those brigade and battalion are assigning sponsors, and the garrison is there to provide those relocation services and provide that resource and tool that the newcomers need to understand for the transition. So they team together to provide that holistic sponsorship program.
Sergeant Major Owen, your opinion, what can be done to help increase the success of the program at the installation level?
Right now, I know it's challenging because we're going through this transition, and we need to understand what this program is going to look like at the strategic level going forward. So the thing that the installations need to focus on is increasing training so that we can empower our sponsors to be more skilled at their effort to provide satisfactory customer service to our newcomers. And we need to increase tracking that training so we know who our skilled sponsors are, so they could probably provide peer-to-peer coaching for new sponsors coming into the program. Additionally, we have to be timely in assigning sponsors to our newcomer and ensure that we're tracking thorough communication through the transition process so the service member can feel they have that reliable connection on the other end. In my opinion, that is the best thing that they can do now, to include completing the surveys at the end of the sponsored soldier's experience, which should be about 45 days, and post warm handoff to their first line supervisor, we should be completing that survey in the Army Career Tracker. This allows us to evaluate the program from a strategic level so that we can provide assistance where necessary or direct resources where the installation hands are tied. Currently, we are going through a AAA audit where the Army is going to help us see where we stand on program performance and how we can improve the program overall, as well as are we providing the services that the newcomers need for effective transition.
Amazing. As you're thinking through, you know, what the program will look like, what is the long-term impact that you believe the program could provide for sponsored users?
So not only does it serve the incoming soldier now, but it sets conditions for a more ready force by addressing the primary needs of the soldier so that they can focus on unit mission and integration after a successful integration. It also serves as a leader development tool. Once the soldier knows the purpose of the services agencies and their location, they now know how to take care of their soldiers in their squad should similar scenarios arise associated with life coping skills. So it is actually a boost to the Army's prevention program by increasing awareness of agencies, resources, and tools that help with daily life stressors, issues, and concerns before they become crisis.
How does one sign up for this program?
Actually, what happens is once a service member is put on orders for a particular installation, that installation is notified of their newcomer. And then the installation level coordinator is going to identify what subordinate organizations that service member will best fit. And then the responsibility will be for that organization to send that initial contact from assign the sponsor and send that initial contact to the service member. And once that occurs, then the first important step of the sponsorship program is completing that DA Form 5434, where the initial contact method, preferred initial contact method, is identified, as well as immediate needs. That will allow the sponsor to actually activate their research for understanding how to best provide services for their newcomer. And after that, it is just follow-on communication throughout the process.
Thank you for that. As we near our close, I'll ask the last question, and this is a twofold question here. Tell us what your personal passion is about this project, what this work means to you personally. And loaded question, right? Loaded question.
Yes.
And the part B of this question would be, if you had to choose one takeaway, what would you want your target audience to know and understand of the program?
The first thing I would say is that I came in the Army as a foster child. So I am a product of the government system raising me between a combination of foster homes and orphanages and things of such. So when I joined the military, I felt like I was going from one organization in which I was moving from one place to the other, to another organization that was set up the same. But the difference is with the Army, there was structure to bring me into the fold that allowed me to feel some sense of understanding of where I needed to go to feel safe and secure. I will tell you, I didn't have that direct one-on-one interaction with the sponsor who was just for me, but I felt like I had a connection with supervisors and leaders and people in my unit that made me feel like if I needed something, I had somewhere to go and someone to talk to, someone to ask. I never felt that way when I was a foster child, when I was in the orphanage. My focus on getting this program right is to just even prove that connection, that initial connection, even more, so that that trust and that safety net is established from the very beginning and that cohesion is established from the very beginning. And what happens is, that individual, the way they felt, they're going to want to make their new soldiers feel the same way. And we're going to duplicate that. And we're going to create a stronger organization, a stronger family if we do that. So I feel like the act of sponsorship and the welcome of our new soldiers and their families is a low cost, but a labor intensive activity because it's out of love. It is out of passion and care for our own. And when performed with care, knowledge, and sincerity, sponsorship will benefit the unit, the soldier, family, and the Army from the beginning of the relationship. So that is why I feel like sponsorship is so important to get right, right now.
Oh, amazing. Sounds like it's very personal for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Thank you for that. Sergeant Major O, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing these details about this very important program with our listeners. This has just been an amazing interview. Please keep up the good work. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Have an amazing day. Thank you for joining this month's Army Resilient Roundup podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please continue to follow the Army Resilience Directorate on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, stay resilient.